Board of Education on June 27th, 2022 to order. The time is 7:30 p.m. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 6, 2022. Notice was sent to two newspapers designated by the board, the Express Times and Hunterdon Review. Notices were posted on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. Notice was sent to the municipal clerk of Clinton Township. Also, please note that this meeting will be live streamed. Attendance, please, Mr. Kramer.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Here.
Ms. Creighton.
Here.
Ms. Emery.
Present.
Mr. Hornick. Ms. Kaltenbach.
Here.
Ms. Oliver. Mr. Rosa.
Here.
Dr. Riamaki.
Here.
Ms. Brennan.
Present. Thank you. Mr. Rosa, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening? Thank you, Mr. Rosa. Good evening, and welcome to our regular meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Thank you to all that have taken the time out to attend our meeting. Happy summer to everyone. We have completed another school year, and we hope that everyone takes some time to recharge over break. Congratulations to all the students moving to the next grade in September. Last week, we held graduation for our eighth graders. It was a lovely ceremony with students who did an amazing job speaking on behalf of their class. We wish all our eighth graders the best of luck as they move on to high school and beyond. Tonight, Dr. Sager will be acknowledging our staff that is retiring. We have six staff members retiring with a combined over 120 years of service to our district. We appreciate all the time and effort dedicated to the district and our students. We wish you all the best in your future endeavors. While it may be summer, things are still happening and busy in the district. Extended school year is starting. Construction projects have been started with the plan for completion prior to when our staff arrives to start the next school year. Curriculum writing for many subjects will also be happening. The anticipation is for that to be ready to vote in the August or September timeframe. On the agenda tonight, under board action number 48, is a lease agreement with the Hunterdon County Educational Services Commission. The administration has been working with the HCESC to allow them to use the parking lot, some offices, and a classroom, starting July 1. This will bring an additional revenue with limited output of the district while we continue to work on getting a plan in place for the 23-24 school year with Spruce Run. Finally, as announced at our last few meetings, the deadline to file a petition to run for a seat on the Clinton Township Board of Education is coming up in July. There is a 2022 school board candidate kit link on the front page of the district website if you are interested in finding out more information. Petitions are due to the Hunterdon County Clerk's office by 4 p.m. on July 25th, 2022. School board elections will be held with the general election on Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. If you have any additional questions, you can reach out to the county clerk's office. With that, I will now hand it over to you, Dr. Sager, for your superintendent's report.
Thank you, Ms. Brandon. So the superintendent's report is a little bit longer tonight than usual, but I still want to start off with a mission statement. The Clinton Township School District, in partnership with community, achieves excellence for each child by ensuring a meaningful and challenging educational experience in a supportive environment, developing lifelong learners who are responsible and productive citizens. And though it's always good to read it, there's a particular reason why I'm reading it tonight. We're going to be acknowledging two students, and one kind of really embodies the lifelong learners who are responsible and productive citizens with what she's going to share tonight. So the first person I'd like to acknowledge could not be here tonight. We've mentioned it before, but Gianna Marina, who was in the Scripps National Spelling Bee, she was 32nd out of, I think, 324 contestants. It's an amazing feat, and it's put Clinton Township on the Spelling Bee map. So congratulations to Gianna. The other young lady we would like to acknowledge tonight is actually here in the audience with us, and this is Brenna Gehrman, sorry, you guys. And Brenna is going to come up and talk to us about a public service announcement competition that she received second place in for the state. So come join us.
everyone. My name is Brenna Gehrman, and I just finished my seventh grade year at CTMS. When I started middle school, it was fall of 2020, and I was a virtual student. During the pandemic, there wasn't a lot of opportunities that a regular middle schooler would get, except for one club called the News Crew. Each morning, I would sign on to a Google Meet, and my homeroom teacher would play the daily CTMS news, where students pre-recorded themselves sharing announcements. One day, there was announcements about how they needed more people to join the club, so I thought it would be a fun opportunity to pass time. So I signed up. I first started as a host, and later on, Ms. Hormican taught me virtually how to use WeVideo. She shared her screen on a Zoom meeting, and we went over the basics. From there, I explored all the editing features. We were a crew about 15 students, and we would film from home and edit the news, and then we would play it in the mornings. I have been doing News Crew for 2 years now, and I think I've really improved my editing skills. So last March, Ms. Cormican announced that there was a state competition that 7th and 8th graders were welcome to enter. It was a contest by the New Jersey Clean Communities Council, partnered with the Department of Environmental Protection. The challenge was to make a 1-minute PSA of the single-use plastic ban that happened on May 4th. There were prizes involved, which was part of the reason I wanted to enter. The contest winners were going to be announced on Earth Day, and I remember checking my email that morning and being a little bit nervous, but I was kind of preparing myself to lose. So later that day, I checked my email around 3, and I went to and I saw an email from Ms. Cormican, and a huge wave of excitement filled my body as I read the following. Good morning, Ms. Cormican, and happy Earth Day. On behalf of the NJ Clean Communities Council, I'm honored to inform you that one of your school's video PSA contest submissions has won second place. The video was submitted by Brenna Gehrman, was fantastic. Please let her know that it was an anonymous vote by the entire review team to make her video a finalist. I so appreciate your dedication to encouraging students to participate and for clearly including this important topic in your curriculum, as well as the time and creativity that Brenna took to make this video. Warm regards, Joanne Jemadin from the NJ Communities Council. I remember sitting in my living room as I shouted yes, and my sisters were with me, and they were really confused, but I was too excited to explain it to them. My mom and dad weren't home, so I called them right away and told them I had just won $750. This was very shocking to me because I was saving up to buy an iPod, and I was finally able to buy one. During the next week of school, my video was shown on the CTMS News, and just walking down the halls, teachers and students congratulated me. The News Crew has been an important part of my middle school years, and I look forward to being in eighth grade next year. So this is my video.
I don't think this is as good as $750, but thank you so much. So also tonight, we're going to show our retirees, when I get to the 90-day plan final update, you'll see all of their photos and congratulate them for their years of service. We have six retirees. There's also an administrative retiree that will be recognized in August at our board meeting. But retiring is Diane Flanagan, Lizanne Bartram, Susan Ellert, Joan Slagus, Rita Russomano, and Maureen Zapula. And we want to thank them for their years of service to Clinton Township School District. So as Ms. Brennan said, the end of the year was anything but slow. We had a lot of events. All of the grades had field days, and they had spectacular days for them. We had an eighth grade award ceremony. It was my first time participating in that, and it was great to see the kids all dressed up and excited. We had a lovely eighth grade moving up ceremony. Dr. Roberto, who is the interim superintendent, came and gave the speech to wish the eighth graders good luck. And this summer, we're having extended school year. In fact, it starts this week, and it's here in Clinton Township Middle School. And the Summer Foundations program, which is for K through second graders, and it's virtual half an hour segments through the month of July. So there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of planning going on for the fall. Going on to safety and security, we have had a lot of outreach since the events in Uvalde, Texas. And it's about Clinton Township School District getting something called a school resource officer. I'm going to be very transparent that a school resource officer was not in the 22-23 budget, and it's not something that comes without a cost. So this week, we're going to send a survey to gauge how important this is in light of things that may have to be cut. So this survey will probably be coming out on Thursday. It's on a scale of 1 to 5, how important it is, you know, for the community to have a school resource office that will be shared between the three different buildings, knowing that there may be an educational impact. So please look for that survey, and we will send it out using our regular messaging. I'm going to go into the 90-day update. Before I do, I want to actually talk about something that is on the agenda. One of the agenda items, usually in the June meeting, we approve all of our resources for the school year, including our diversity resources and our mentor texts. This is a regular thing that happens. It's usually on the agenda. It's on this agenda. We have decided to postpone voting on that for tonight. We're actually going to vote on it in the August meeting, and that's because we want to add a little bit more clarity. So with the diversity, equity, inclusion resources, we want to make sure that they're scheduled by month and that you can see the age limits and that you understand that how they're going to be used. And that's in a direct response to people wanting to have a clearer picture of what their kids are learning and what they're doing. We're also going to do another curriculum night talking about that and giving some updates on the curriculum writing, and that will probably be in August. So we'll send information on that as well. So now I'm going to go into the 90-day plan update. If the board would like to move into the audience, it might make it easier. Or you can just turn your chairs, that's cool. Oops. Oh no. So there are our retirees, and over 120 years of combined service. As I said, we're very sad to see them go, but we've hired a lot of new great candidates, and we're excited to welcome them to our school community. So when I came first into the district, one of the things I talked about was a 90-day plan. And a 90-day plan is something customary that superintendents do to kind of explain to the community how they're going to get to know the district, figure out what the district's priorities are, and make a plan of action for moving forward. So this, if you've been coming to my coffee and conversations, some of this will be familiar, but for those of you who haven't, this is just a brief update on where we are, because I've been in the district almost 90 days as of July 1st. So I want to first thank the Board of Education members, the staff, the parents, the students, and the community. You have really made my first 3 months here welcoming, and it gives me a lot of hope and encouragement of where we're going to move forward as a district, so thank you. When we first sent the 90-day goals, there were 5 goals. Of course, learning about the people, processes, and resources, needs assessments, such as the curriculum, instruction, PD, technology, creating connection with district personnel and community stakeholders was very important. establishing our priorities for planning forward, and understanding how the district is responding to the whole child in light of the interrupted pandemic schooling. So those were the five goals that were for those 90 days. So the first 30 days, this was sent, this was, you know, what the plan was. And so after those first 30 days, this is kind of the result. You know, when we set the survey to the staff members, one of the things, and this is a Wordle, so it kind of like points out in big letters what words occurred most frequently in responses, and that the teachers, staff, students are all dedicated and a big part of making this community great. We also talked about the school website. That was something that was listed as an area of concern before I started. You can see, and this will be coming out again this summer, this is our website as it stands right now. This is the template we might be using moving forward, but we're going to be sending it out to the community for some feedback just like we did before. And then also finding out that financially that we're funding recurring expenses with overage. And that's something, you know, that can't be solved overnight, but having a big picture of where we are financially as a district. So that's what happened in the first 30 days. The next 60 days was to get a little bit deeper, focusing and framing. Participating in teachers' professional learning communities, scheduling parent learning events, sharing the website redesign, creating summer meeting schedules, which is still happening, using data to establish the 22-23 priorities, and again, informally understanding the impact of COVID. So one of the things that we did is we sent out a survey to the community about the website. And again, I shared this at the coffee and communication. And this was just basically rating the Clinton Township School District on the following. Some of them are quality of information, which was good, usefulness, which was good, but clarity, which was fair, and you know, page layout, which was fair. I also like to always include comments because I think comments help give a little bit more insight into what people are thinking when they answer these questions. And these are my two favorite because it really sums up you know, what happens when you send something out to the public. It's difficult to navigate and it doesn't seem to have the most up-to-date info. Plain, simple. And then the opposite, I don't really see the website as needing significant improvement. So you always get, every time you send something out, you get something really positive about it and you get something, you know, that needs to be improved. So we're working on that. And then also, you know, sending out additional surveys to the teachers. And one of the things that was asked was, I feel like I make a difference in students' lives. And all of the teachers, it was agree, highly agree, neutral. All of the teachers were neutral or above in how they feel that they impact students' lives. So that's really important. Now we're in the last 90 days. And so what was happening is updating on the community noticing and goals. This is something we're doing tonight. Attend all end of the year events. I did not get to all of them, but I did go to quite a few. Holding the parent learning events, we had one, but more are being planned for moving forward. Getting staff input and delivering the end of year reflection, and then sharing the summer and September events. So all of that is on track. These were some of the events, as I mentioned earlier, that I was able to attend. The eighth grade awards night, the eighth grade moving up ceremony, the fourth grade chorus concert, the fifth grade field day, and I went to the PMG second and kindergarten concerts, which were during the day. And so all those events, plus other things I'm probably not thinking of, were wonderful. The parent learning, so far we had the May health standards nights. We're also going to have a summer curriculum update that, as I said, will probably be in August. And it will talk about a little bit more about the diversity resources and how they're spread out over the year. And it'll also talk about the update so you can see some of the lessons that are related to some of the concerns with the health standards. Back to school, we're having our new teacher orientation August 24th and 25th. Staff for August 29th and 30th. And the first day for students is August 31st. And I always feel guilty talking about that in June so, because you guys still have your summer break, but I want to put that out there. And then one of the things that was asked for was new teachers wanted more support, and our seasoned teachers wanted to get back to, you know, focusing on the values of the district. So we are going to be starting a new teacher academy. The PD committee has been part of that. That was developed with the teachers and the administration together. And then we're going to highlight areas of support needed for new teachers. So that's kind of the reflection on what we're doing moving forward. Now going into the 22-23 school year, some of these things were already spelled out. We're going to solidify them. We're going to have an administrative retreat this summer. And we're also going to have a board retreat. But these are some of the goals for next school year. One, the teacher-led professional development. Our teachers here are incredible. They have incredible knowledge and expertise, and allowing them to share with their colleagues what they know and do so we have more consistency throughout the district. Spruce Run, which we talked about, it's this empty school on the hill. It is being used by the ESC starting next year, but are there other things that we can do? I personally, and I've heard from some people in the community, can we turn it into an early childhood or alternative learning center? Can we get the middle schoolers involved with it? So things that we can do to help generate revenue, but also like make sure it's being used to its full potential. Tier one interventions, what that basically is when students are instructed in the classroom and they don't necessarily retain the information right away or get it right away the first time, what can we do right in the classroom to help support their learning and advance their understanding of the knowledge? So we can do differentiation, which, you know, that's a buzzword in education, but that means changing what it is, how the kids show what they know, changing how they learn how to do something, changing what it is, you know, the level of the content that's being used to introduce them to concepts. So, and also doing some small group instruction, because we know in small groups, students sometimes tend to learn better. And then a bigger thing is like looking at instructional time and schedules. What we spend time on and money on is what we value, and we just want to make sure that what we're spending time and money on in all of our buildings represents what we value. And then some other things are finalizing the administrative team. We have had, the director of special services has resigned. We have an acting one in their place. Analyzing instructional needs, and of course, improving security measures. There are some low budget things that you can do, you know, as simple as when they come in the lobby guard, monitoring keys, monitoring badges, but there's also some, you know, higher things that we can do that we're gonna send out to the community. So, what's next? We did the 90-day plan. It's not that now I have no accountability and there's not steps. What we're gonna do is we're gonna meet in November. I invite everyone in the community, and not just people in the school community, the broader community, to meet and to create a concrete plan for moving the district forward. This will be an evening event. I will feed you, and it will be me, not the district. I will feed you, and really talking about what it is that we think is great, how we can build on that, and where we want to be, how we're going to finance that, and the goal is, Clinton Township School District is a great school district, but how can we be even better, and how can we be one of the best districts in the state? So thanks. And I'll give it back to Ms. Brennan. Oh,
thank you. Okay, so thank you, Dr. Steger. I am looking for a motion for 22 SU23 and 22 SU24.
Motion.
Was that you, Ms. Kallenbach? Thank you. Looking for a second?
Second.
I think I heard Ms. Emery.
Can we let Brenna go?
Oh, yes, of course. You're free to go if you want. Okay, you can say. Good. Discussion? We had no questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Yes.
Ms. Craig.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Rosen.
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. At this time, we've reached the public comment section. Today, we received zero written comments. Those listening to the live stream are welcome to offer commentary. However, priority will be given to in-person comments. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please come up to the podium. You do not need to wait for the speaker to sit once they complete, this podium, by the way, sorry. That you do not need to wait for the speaker to sit once they complete their comments before approaching the podium. There is a clipboard for all participants to write their name and address. When it is your turn, if you could please state your name and address for the audio recording. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. At the 2 minute and 30 second mark, the timer will sound. Please wrap your comments up in the following 30 seconds. Public comment is not for back and forth. If there is a response to public comments, it will occur once everyone has had the opportunity to address the board. If time allows, Zoom participants will have the opportunity to address the board. Those on Zoom can use the raise hand feature, which can be found by clicking the reactions button at the bottom of the Zoom window. Until recognized, the members of the public will be kept set muted. We ask anyone who asks a question on Zoom to please have their cameras on. The board respects all those who get up to speak. Please keep comments respectful. This comment section will be limited to 20 minutes. Public comment? 2 minutes, 30 seconds. And you got yours. Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Hello, everyone. First, I'd like to give a quote from the New Jersey School Board. Oh, I'm sorry. I should know the role again. Christopher Sedulis, Clinton Township. Thank you. The school board, quote, "The school board has a dual role to represent the citizens, taxpayers, and parents to the school administrators and to represent the needs of the students and district to the citizens, taxpayers, and parents of the community." That's a quote from New Jersey School Boards Association. And I think some board members today in this day and age seem to forget their role. We keep expressing our concerns and we don't feel they're really being met. So let me continue with my concerns for tonight. President Biden said, quote, "They're all our children. And the reason that your teachers of the year is because you recognize that. They're not somebody else's children. They're like yours when they're in the classroom." Well, he's wrong. Gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe said, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." I disagree with that too. Malinowski said, "Parents' concerns are, quote, made up cultural BS." Now, I don't think it's cultural BS. I don't think it's made up. We have serious concerns. First thing, sex ed standards. Before end of grade 2, gender identity and explicit description of private parts. Before the end of grade 5, romantic and sexual feelings, masturbation, mood swings, puberty blockers, sexual orientation, gender identity, various ways one can get pregnant. Before the end of grade 8, pregnancy options such as abortion define anal, oral, and vaginal sex. In my opinion, these state standards, and I can't say the curriculum because we don't know what the curriculum is going to look like until you vote on it and then you post it, which we feel we should be getting to see it before you vote on it so you could have your community and your constituents' input. That's why you're here. I believe they're illegal. Schools are given the green light to teach sexual subject matter to minors that would otherwise be illegal. But before these standards were put out by the School Board of New Jersey, if a teacher took it upon themselves to discuss or show sexual or private subject matter, that teacher would be arrested and charged, rightfully so. They would probably be arrested and charged with the New Jersey 2009 obscenity law, which is a third degree crime. Note, there's also a federal crime possibly with the transfer of obscene material to minors under 16, which you could be fined and prison not more than 10 years or both. I find it interesting that the district policy 3283 regarding electronic communications between teachers, staff members, and students says communications of a sexual nature, sexually orientated humor or language, sexual advances or content with a sexual overtone is against district policy. I don't know how you could have that policy still when you're going to allow teachers to give a green light to teach certain things that are inappropriate. DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. I have a problem with that. It's a strong focus on racism, majority of it against blacks. We can teach the country's history of racism, but in a constructive manner, and also teach how we dismantle slavery and revere the great things that people did and how far we've come today. Bludgeoning children over the head to get them to learn a one-sided version of history or to hold hatred for themselves and their country is not healthy, nor does it unite people. I believe it's also illegal. Why? Because it's a discrimination program that discriminates against white people. Mountain Lakes is actually getting sued right now for discrimination.
Mr. Sedulis, I'm sorry, you're 3 minutes.
Time's up?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I was going to say, do you need a pen?
It's working, semi. My name is Nicole Gallo. I live in Elbun Township. I did have a chance to look over the curriculum and the agenda that you guys are proposing. And I'm going to be honest, it's going to be a little raw. So I looked at the agenda and proposing, and I find it very counterintuitive and find it a threat to children. The district slogan is "Where children come first." I don't think your agenda fulfills this. The curriculum is not a law. It is not a mandate. If you do not consent, the district will only lose 4 points off your audit score. Please do not give false information to the community that it's mandatory. You're choosing to implement this. We have researched its standards, testified in Trenton in front of the education committee, spoken to superintendents that have opted out. 8 New Jersey schools already have opted out, and more are coming. The community came together in full opposition to this curriculum. Yes, and if you go ahead with this curriculum, you're souping your constituents and parental rights. I would like to address the community and the board that board members on this school district are members of 2 special interest activist groups, Indivisible and Evolve. This agenda is 100% for political gain, and social activism has no bearing on academics. The school board is supposed to be apolitical. Progressive activists support violence, such as BLM. BLM activists have murdered, burned, and looted in democratic cities. They have destroyed homes, businesses. Teach their children to support this behavior. Teach your children they should be violent. Your stance is an oxymoron. Your curriculum teaches that black children are victims and white children are oppressors. This is 100% false. Approximately 323 white males died in defending slavery in the Civil War, and you announced Juneteenth as a holiday, but your calendar doesn't honor Veterans Day. You're discriminating. Does your curriculum discuss that the first black man that was ever owned was owned by another black man because he owed money? Therefore, the judge allowed him to own that man to pay off his debt? Does your curriculum discuss that 2.5 of the slaves here in America were the lowest in the world? Does your curriculum discuss that in 2022, there are 94 countries that still own slaves? If this board was pro-black, then you would support the overturning of Roe versus Wade, because black Americans equal 13.4% of our population, but 38.4% of all abortions are black babies. Margaret Singer was a Democrat who created Planned Parenthood to reduce the black community. If we are going to trust the science, as you did with force and masking, then teaching children true biology that there are 2 genders. Reassignment surgeries are either male or female. You're lying to the children. Word has gotten to the community that Patrick McGarrigan's school notified their faculty that words boys and girls are not allowed to be used. You're discriminating and not being inclusive. Today, SCOTUS upheld freedom of religion within the First Amendment. The transgenderism LGBT agenda violates Muslims, Jews, and Christian religious rights. You're causing reverse discrimination. To conclude, American public school students receive 3 times the amount of money per student than any other country. Yet in the US, the downward spiral has fallen to we are ranked 26th globally. The youth suicide rates are at a record highs. The public school system is failing our youth. The LGBT transgenderism teaching that the US is inherently racist and programming our children to hate their country has taken priority over education.
I'm sorry, your time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe this is still on. Good. Okay.
Hi, my name is Kim Gordon. I'm from Clinton Township. I spoke a couple weeks ago to the board about how disgusted I was with the curriculum health standards. I still am, and my feelings have not changed. It is not up to anyone but the parents to speak to children about the topics that are in these standards. Other districts have completely shut them down. It is also appalling that the community is not allowed to see the new curriculum before the voted upon standards by you, the Board of Ed. If there's nothing to hide, then show the curriculum before. But better yet, Mrs. Brennan, what I'm asking you to do right now is please set forth a motion or speak to the board to not adopt these standards. And if you can, please hold a straw poll vote. You will not do that right now? Will you do that tonight? Okay, well then you have showed us once and for all where you stand. Thank you.
All right, so Dr. Steger, Mr. Kramer, Pedro Lopes, Clinton Township. I was saying Dr. Steger, Mr. Kramer, Mr. Brennan, other board members. I usually don't write a speech, but I don't want to forget anything, so I'm just going to read what I prepare for this meeting. So with the school year coming to an end, I think it's fair to say that we had a very challenging year due to COVID-19 restrictions. But overall, we did good and perhaps better than other districts. However, I truly believe that we can do better, starting by ending the non-mandatory, I repeat, non-mandatory and discriminatory quarantine rules. Some of the rules are pathetic, to say the least. For example, at the cafeteria, during the lunch periods, children must leave an empty seat between them and their friends. Can any of you explain to me how that empty seat will stop the transmission of an airborne virus? Small droplets can travel long distances, but here at CTSD, we like to virtual signaling that one empty seat in between two people can stop transmission. We have room for improvement, and I hope the district continues to move forward without taking any steps back. With vaccines widely available for ages 6 months and up, boosters, and therapeutics also available currently, there are no reasons for steps back other than political theater. As I expressed multiple times, social and political agendas have no place in public schools or any schools. The focus of a school should be to prepare students for college and the workforce, including preparing them for jobs that might not even exist, instead of trying to indoctrinate and create the next generation of social justice warriors by pushing agendas that have no place in schools. I'm aware that one of the committees has plans to add teaching materials related to Juneteenth and plans to add Juneteenth to the school calendar. I agree and applaud this initiative, since Juneteenth is now a federal and state holiday. But at the same time, I wish that the committee wouldn't be so selective and so focused on one part of history. I hope that we as a district could also add to the school calendar other federal and state holidays that have been recognized for decades and are part of American history. Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Independence Day, and Christmas are not honored on the school calendar. In today's age that we talk so much about equity, it would be great if we could have a diversity of holidays that include the entire American history, culture, and values honored and observed by the district. To finish, as far as the new health standards and DEI standards, the district knows where I and many other parents stand. The district is aware that many parents oppose parts, if not all, of these political and social agendas being pushed in our schools. But even with all the concerns and opposition from parents, the district insists on not listening. With that said, and since I don't like to keep repeating myself and have to always be talking about the same thing over and over, I want to be very clear that if the district tries to eliminate my parenting civil rights, substitute my job as a parent, and attempt to indoctrinate my children with this political and social crap, you will leave me with no other option other than escalate this to a court of law where constitutional and civil rights can be upheld. Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to close the floor to public comment. Is there any online comment? Okay. We are now going to move on to the report of the business administrator, Mr. Kramer.
Under board actions tonight, we give our approval to three sets of minutes.
the May 2nd, June 1st, and the executive session from the meeting. We're approving the lease agreement moving forward with the Hunterdon County Educational Service Commission for the lease of the Spruce Run School. This is also the time of year that we reappoint for the upcoming school year the professional services, the physician, negotiator, the architect, the auditor, the broker for both the health benefits and general liability. We're also updating the signatures for the bank accounts that the district has. And we're going to be joining the Garden State Coalition for Schools. And also there's an acceptance of a donation from the Girl Scout, Troop 80907. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kramer. I'm looking for a motion for 22BA047 through 22BA059.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Imaki. Looking for a second.
Second.
I think I heard Dr. Blumenfeld, so he will get the second. Any questions? Discussion?
Just want to thank the scouts for the donation.
So I think we're all good. Okay. Roll call vote, please, Mr. Kramer.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Yes.
Ms. DeRosa.
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes, but I'd like to abstain on BA 59.
Yes, with an abstention on BA 59. Motion passes.
Thank you. We're moving on to Facilities and Finance. Facilities and Finance met on June 29th for about an hour and a half. Dr. Blumenfeld, Mr. Rosa, and I, along with Dr. Sager and Mr. Kramer, met. The administration is working through the departure and the filling of three key positions in the central office: HR coordinator, payroll coordinator, and the assistant to the school business administrator. All new staff is in place. There is a parent from Lebanon Borough interested in sending their seventh grader to the Clinton Township Middle School. A contract is being developed, and if accepted by both parties, the district will be receiving a tuition for such. The district has two bidders on the notes we are selling related to the March 8th referendum. This note will be paid back in 1 year using capital reserve. The 22-23 fiscal year has been open since mid-May, and schools and departments have been generating requisitions for the 22-23 school year. As long as the supply chain meets the demands being offered, we are anticipating a smooth opening for next year. Administration reviewed the capital projects: the window replacement at PMG, the HVAC upgrades at PMG, and the HVAC upgrades at RVS, and informed the committee that everything is currently progressing on schedule. Administration is still looking into the energy savings incentive program, which the district may have an interest in pursuing. An energy savings incentive program is a financing mechanism that allows retrofitting public facilities with energy conservation measures without having to budget upfront for the new capital investment. There is a resolution on tonight's agenda that will allow administration to request proposals. Board members receive current projections for revenues and expenditures for the June 30, 22 fiscal year. The projections overall continue to indicate positive results. Currently, for those areas, the committee reviewed the facilities and finance resolutions on tonight's agenda and will be asking the full board for their support in passing these resolutions. Would anybody on the committee like to elaborate further on any of my points?
I think you did right.
The only one I wanted to comment on was, just to clarify with Mr. Kramer, the ESIP, the motion that's on the, that we're doing tonight, there's no commitment at it. There's no out-of-pocket cost for what we're doing right now, correct?
Correct. It's asking for proposals. That's all.
Fantastic. And and I did just want to actually say, you know, thanks for doing great work on the budget. I was really excited to see, you know, how well we'd done this calendar year, and that, you know, nobody was fighting to try and come in at budget. The savings can go into the capital reserves and maintenance reserves, which is awesome.
Okay. I'm looking for a motion for 22FF77 through 22FF095.
Motion.
I think I heard Ms. Emery. Thank you. Looking for a second?
Second.
Oh, that was that Ms. Creighton? Discussion, questions? Anybody? Okay. Mr. Kramer, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Yes.
Ms. DeRosa.
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes.
Passes.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to personnel. Since Mr. Hornick is not in attendance this evening, Ms. Emery, could you report out for personnel? Don't forget to turn your mic on.
Yes. Thank you. The personnel committee was held on June 16th at 5:30 p.m. and lasted for approximately an hour and 15 minutes, actually maybe a little bit longer than that. In attendance was myself, Ms. Creighton, Ms. Brennan, and Dr. Staker as well. So we did discuss a couple of things. First, we did discuss summer hours, and although these hours have been shared with the public, the offices will be open from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and of course, we will have coverage for that. And also, the district and school offices will be closed on Fridays in July, and just the district office will be open from 9 a.m. until 12 p.m. on Fridays in August. This was sent out in the weekly communication, but just to reiterate that. Also some exciting new hires. We do have a new STEM teacher who has been hired, which will contribute to the offering of some new classes for our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, including some possible choice classes in tech, robotics, coding, and financial literacy. We also will have an art teacher who's going to be offering a digital design course, which we think is pretty great. In addition, we did post for, or we will be posting for a special education teacher for Patrick McGarren, and also all substitute teaching recruitment will officially be brought in-house. We believe that's going to help with the recruitment process. And this week we're going to be posting a supervisor of special education and instruction. And in addition, the director of special services position will also be posted this week. Other than that, you know, we are asking the board to accept a few retirements that we discussed earlier, along with some resignations and some moves. Did anyone want to add anything?
Great. Just if anyone's interested in subbing, please apply on the Clinton Township School District. We would love to have you in our building. Thanks.
Sorry, I had to do the plug.
No, please.
Thank you, Ms. Emery. I'm looking for a motion for 22P161 through 22P179.
Motion.
Oh, you, all at once. Who was that? Ms. Creighton. I got Ms. Creighton as my motion. And my second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Kaltenbach. Any questions or discussion?
Yes. We're on personnel, correct?
We're on personnel.
Does that go to 180?
Oh, does it go to 180? I could be wrong. Oh, it does, 180. I apologize. I didn't double check.
So if we could, okay. If we could withdraw the second, withdraw the motion, then we can redo it.
Okay, so would you two be willing to withdraw the motion and the second?
Sure.
We have to withdraw and I have to redo because I was off by a number. Thank you for withdrawing. Looking for a motion for 22P161 through 22P180?
Correct.
Okay.
Motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Now, do we have any other questions and discussion? It's okay. I thank you for fixing it. None? Okay. Mr. Kramer, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Yes.
Mr. Rosa.
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes.
We pass. Thank you. Motion passes, I should say.
Thank you. With that, we're going to move on to Ms. Kaltenbach with policy.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Is that good? Okay. The policy committee met on Monday, January 20th, for about 1.5 hours. Dr. Steger, Ms. Brennan, Ms. Oliver, and Ms. Creighton, and myself were in attendance. There are several policies and regulations that are being presented for first reading tonight. Most of these are mandatory, as indicated by the M on the agenda. By New Jersey law, we have to accept some version of these for inclusion in our school policies, and the committee has reviewed carefully and in some cases modified each one. For those of you who don't know, our policies and regulations can be found on the school website in an easily searchable form. I've said this, I kind of say it every other meeting, we use a company called Strauss Esme to provide our searchable form. And so if you see that at the bottom of the, when you follow the link on our policies, that's what that means. So it's an outside company that houses our policies. And that's where that comes from. The committee would ask the full board to consider voting in the affirmative. So policy 1648.15 is record keeping for healthcare settings in school buildings, specifically for COVID-19. This policy replaces policy 1648.14, which we are abolishing a little bit later on tonight. 0.15 changes, these changes are keeping us current with state requirements and procedures. They're simply updated guidance with respect to the health offices in our school. Policy 2416.01 is postnatal accommodations for students. Although as a pre-K to 8 district, this is not normally something that's in our purview, we are aligning the timelines presented in this new and recommended policy for students with the timelines and accommodations for our staff. So we're going to kind of bring a whole bunch of policies in alignment with this. Policy 2417, student intervention and referral services. This is a mandatory policy. These are some changes to an existing policy that includes some changes in language, codified things that we already did, like having INRS teams in each building and not just at district level. It doesn't really have any effect on what we are doing here. It just kind of reinforces that what we are doing is up to standard. Policy 3161 and 4161, examination for cause. These two revised policies refer to support staff and teaching staff, having them examined due to questionable changes in their behavior. So for example, if administration sees changes in their behavior that causes concern, we can have them sent out, or they can be sent out for psychological examination, and this sets forth the parameters for that. The policy committee went further and modified some language in those policies to be more clear. Regulation 5830, student fundraising. This is a new regulation that deals with student fundraising from outside groups. We as a committee spent quite a bit of time with this one and policy 9700. Regulation 5830, we specifically removed the PTA and the Clinton Township Foundation from this regulation. This outside fundraising had some pretty strict regulations that we felt would be an hindrance on some of the good work that the PTA typically does in our schools. And so we had removed them from this. And specifically put that in our board policy so that they would not have the good work that they do impacted by this. And then we went in and modified existing policy 9700 to include those groups. And so kind of put into our existing policies what is already happening, but just to clear up for going forward what is already going on in our schools. Policy 7410, maintenance and repair, and then regulation 7410.01, facilities, maintenance, repair, scheduling, and accounting. Sorry, that's a mouthful. Both of these are mandatory. This set of policy and regulations are mandatory changes that included adding some clarifying language and corresponding state statutes and code. Again, they don't really change anything about what we are already doing. They're just clarifying the language. Policy and Reg 9320 are cooperation with law enforcement agencies. These again are mandatory changes that included adding some clarifying language and the corresponding state statutes and codes. The committee had a discussion on the roles of police in schools and the memorandum of agreement, and as discussed earlier, this topic of conversation will continue across the district throughout the summer. Finally, for first read, policy 7243 set forth movement on change orders up to the budget limit without needing reapproval. So the committee has reviewed all of these policies, as has the administration, and we're asking the full board for their approval of first reading. As stated earlier, we are abolishing 1648.14, which is the safety plan for healthcare settings. And this is an outdated policy, but we're archiving it. This had really the strict COVID requirements, and we are going to be archiving it in case we ever need it again, which we all hope we don't. The committee is also bringing several policies for second reading tonight. These are listed in the agenda, and the committee asks that the board consider voting in the affirmative for these as well. Our next meeting is August 16th with a possible meeting in July. Yes. And so thank you very much. Anybody on the committee have anything to add? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm looking for a motion for 22PR023 through 22PR025.
Motion.
I heard Dr. Riamaki's motion. Second?
Second.
Is that Dr. Blumenfeld? Thank you. It was Dr. Riamaki, motion. Dr. Blumenfeld, second. Any questions? Okay, no discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Dr. Blumenfeld?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Mr. Rosa?
Yes.
Ms. Riamaki? Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. And now we will go to curriculum with Dr. Riamaki.
Thank you. This month, the curriculum committee met on June 23rd for 75 minutes. In attendance were Dr. Steger, Ms. Hinkle, Ms. Kaltenbach, Ms. Brennan, and myself. There are 17 resolutions on tonight's agenda. As Dr. Steger already mentioned, 22CUR081 is going to be tabled so that more work can be done to clarify the documents that were in that motion. Aside from that, we are seeking approval for annual motions that we do each June for the upcoming school year, including the district mentoring plan and staff evaluation instruments. We're also seeking approval of school services from ESC, Effective School Solutions, and Tri-County Behavioral Care, an MOA to form a consortium to provide programming and services related to homeless students, services for specific students for this fiscal year and next, an independent contractor to provide speech and language therapy services, which happens also each year, out-of-district placement for students for this fiscal year and next, travel reimbursements for district professional development, practicum requests for several staff members, enrollment in an accelerated online math course for two of our students in the upcoming school year, the submission of the security drill statement of assurance for this past school year, summer hours for public access to our school buildings, which was already referenced, and submission of an ESEA grant application for nearly $60,000. At our meeting, we also discussed several topics. The May 26th Parent Night on Curriculum, which was attended by 68 community members. The second annual Summer Foundations Program, which has a little over 100 students enrolled, and Dr. Steger already referenced that as well. An update on the K through 5 math program. As announced last month, our district is moving away from Go Math as our textbook. This research will continue in the fall in preparation for a transition for the following school year to a new textbook. A description of articulation meetings, which occurred in June to ensure alignment across grades as students move up grade levels. Plans for summer curriculum writing, and the board should know that we will be receiving updates throughout the summer. There are a lot of areas that we will be looking at for our August meeting, given the state's revision to standards across many subject areas. And so those will be provided for review as they are finished. Plans for presenting NJSLA and Start Strong test results at our October board meeting. and a transition to a program called LinkIt for benchmark assessments for grades 3 through 8, which was piloted this year. Finally, we discussed potential improvements to PowerSchool and our communication with families for how to get all of the information that's available in PowerSchool, potential improvements to communication through our website, and opportunities for expanding electives and extracurricular programs for our students. Anyone on the committee want to add or amend anything?
Okay, thank you. I'm looking for a motion for 22CUR067 through 22CUR084, tabling 81.
Motion.
Did I say it wrong?
I think it starts with, I have 56, let me look.
I have 67.
You have 67? I have 56. It is 67.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
But it's still right that way?
67, okay. 57, yes.
67. Okay, motion for 67 through 84, tabling 81.
Motion.
Thank you, Ms. Emery.
Oh, that's way wrong.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Creighton.
Sorry about that.
Questions, discussion? All right, seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yeah.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Yes.
Mr. Rosa?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We're going to move on to old business. Does anyone on the board have any old business to report?
That's where I got it
from. Or questions? Okay. Seeing none, any new business of the board?
I have one meeting to report on. On June 9th, there was a president's and vice president's roundtable for the Sendin districts to North Hunterdon and Voorhees, including the board leadership for that board as well. The topic was an overview of the regionalization process. It was led by our NJSBA field representative, Gwen Thornton, and was attended by board leadership from North Hunterdon and Voorhees, Tewksbury, Bethlehem Township, Lebanon Township, Franklin Township, Highbridge, and of course Clinton Township. Board members should have received from Mrs. Brennan the PowerPoint presentation, actually the Zoom video from that meeting. I highly encourage you to watch it. It was incredibly informative. I guess the short summary of it is that regionalization is a long and complicated process, it is something that is on our radar always, but is not something that happens overnight. The last time a district in the state consolidated, I believe it was, if I have it on here, Hunterdon Central was South Hunterdon. And 1971 was the last forced consolidation. So that was the last voluntary consolidation, and forced consolidation is even more rare. There are 600 total operating school districts in the state, and that doesn't count charter schools or private schools. This has been a discussion in the state for a very long time. One thing that Ms. Thornton mentioned to us that I think is relevant is that of the research in which school districts have consolidated, regionalized, there's no research showing that that has saved any money. And so that is an important factor. The benefits are really case by case. The financial analysis has to consider a whole host of things, including impacts to transportation, impacts to disparate impacts across the different communities, et cetera, how the cost sharing would happen, how the various school debt and proceeds from sales for underutilized facilities would be divided, what happens with state aid and tax revenues, and how you manage staffing needs. So All of that is a long process. I think for us, the first step is watching that video because it will answer a lot of questions. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else with any new business for the board? Okay, we're going to move on. At this time, we've reached the second public comments section. We will also include online questions. However, priority will be given to in-person comments. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please come up to the podium. You do not need to wait for the speaker to sit once they complete their comments. Before the It's really screwing me up. Approaching the podium. There is a clipboard for all participants to write their name and address. When it is your turn, if you could then please state your name and address for the audio recording. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. At the 2 minute and 30 second mark, the timer will sound. Please wrap your comments up in the following 30 seconds. The board respects all who get up to speak. Please keep comments respectful. Any responses to public comments will occur once everyone has had the opportunity to address the board. If time allows, Zoom participants will have the opportunity to address the board. Those on Zoom can use the raise hand feature, which can be found by clicking the reactions button at the bottom of the Zoom window. We ask anyone who asks a question on Zoom to please have their cameras on. Until recognized, the members of the public will be kept muted. Ooh, sorry. So you're good.
Evie Roederer, Pequest Road. I'm actually from Stuartsville, Greenwich Township, but I am a taxpayer in New Jersey, so I am concerned. I'd first like to ask you a few of the things that were on the agenda that I just heard concerning the professional counselors and the services that you want to upgrade for this year. You mentioned that some of these services, if they deem appropriate, that there might be places that they would consider taking children outside of the school too, if I understood that correctly. And if that's the case, that might be something you would like to address at the meeting you're having with the parents. I think they'd be very concerned and interested in that aspect. They do like to know what's going on with their children and where they are at all times. I know that sadly, from what I've come to understand, that there was a law passed in New Jersey very quietly that allowed for the teachers and school officials to withhold information from parents concerning especially children that feel that they are transgender. They want to be called by a different name, a different gender, that any of this information would stay within the school bounds and that the parents would not be informed. I think that's something that you need to discuss at your next meeting with the parents that you're having. They might be very concerned that you're withholding information from them, especially if they disagree with that. They do not want those type of things being reinforced by the school officials. I know that you've heard very effectively and intelligently from prior speakers this evening about their concerns with the new health standards, and I know that you will be addressing that at your next meeting, so I will not go into detail with that, but I would like to mention that there is a law that is a federal law called SIPA. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it regulates the amount of funds that your school district will get for the internet that you provide for the children's, and there are specific things that are mentioned within that bill that prohibit anything that might do harm to the children, and especially also involved in that is pornographic material not being allowed to be distributed via the internet. So I guess if the kids go to the school library and they're using the internet, you have to make sure that you have blockers on the internet access for those specific things. So I hope that you'll be aware that There is a lot of things that are pornographic in nature, and I think everybody is seeing that very clearly. You better be very careful because you could lose your federal funding, and there are ways for parents to get that information out to the proper authorities to stop that funding. So I hope that you'll look into that, and I hope that you will, as many other school districts have, say that you will not in any way, shape, or form hold on and continue to go forward with this curriculum. Thank you.
All
Hi, Rachel Sprague, 5 Maple Avenue, Annandale, resident of Clinton Township. Just have two brief comments to the board. In light of the face of the evolving public health situation, we just want to express our continued desire for HEPA filters for individual classrooms for next year to help protect our teachers and students, especially vulnerable families. We beg the board to consider allowing private donations for HEPA filters and looking into it over the summer. Second comment, I just wanted to say thank you to the Board of Ed, excuse me, for your continued service this school year. You maintain your professionalism and focus on our students. Thank you for finding a good superintendent. And I'm really proud of a board that has such a range of diversity to it. I really think you bring so much to the community with your professionalism and keeping us moving forward. So thank you for that.
I already signed it. Nicole Gallo, Lebanon Township. Dr. Steger, you were talking about the officer. I guess you guys are going to put a survey out on Thursday. With the ESSER funds that you guys received from the state, can the payment, they're already accounted for?
Got it.
Thank you. And one other thing I just wanted to say is that Dr. Martin Luther King says that we judge people by their character, not by the color of their skin. So it's great to have diversity, but we want qualified people that are gonna be able to serve the school district. Doesn't matter what gender or what color you are, but we don't need to have a quota, is what I wanted to say, responding. And I thank you guys for such a tough time and political craziness here that with our students, they're in bad way. There's 2 years of a lot of emotional health, and I do think it has a lot to do with this curriculum and agenda you guys are pushing. So thank you.
Renelle Reckon, 42 Valley Crest Road. One comment is I'm glad that there's not going to be voting on the health standard, that whole curriculum thing tonight, hopefully more discussion, and hopefully eventually that parents will have more input and feedback before voting. Kind of two questions. The one is about the ESS, Effective School Solution Counseling, and the Tri-County. It baffles my mind why ESS is leaving the middle school, and I assume Round Valley, but not Patrick McGarren. I'm not sure, and ESS recently went through counselor changes at the middle school, which caused a lot of havoc and not good things for the vulnerable students. I'm not sure why there's yet another change, but not only at some of the schools. Also considering that ESS is the counselors at the high school, so yet again, those students that get those services are changing now. They just went through a change, I'm talking middle school, and then come next year or the year after they have to change again because the school is changing companies. I mean, I'm sure and hope Tri-County will be great. I wish there was more information on the reasoning to those parents involved. As for substitute teachers, I'm one of those that signed up for a company who was also called ESS. To sub right before COVID, started subbing, COVID kicked us out, and then the school changed to Delta T, went through a lot, I almost used the bad word, and had to sign up through Delta T, finally got that done, worked with Delta T, and the school's changing again. So I truly hope, I try to sub when I can, that the school will reach out to the Delta T employees directly as well, and not just random subs just to help us if we want to continue with the school to make the process easy and not cumbersome to yet again change employers. And thank you. Have a great summer. There was one more thing. My two boys are here attending as part of a Boy Scout requirement. And one of the comments was, Mama, why people only get 3 minutes to speak? I'm like, but that's what they need to do. I'm like, She's like, that's not fair, because if people have something to say, they should have a chance to say it.
Hi, I'm Florence Forlini. I live in Lebanon. I just wanted to say, for us in this district, I was very surprised to find out that we are an automatic opt-in with curriculum, kind of across the board with certain things. I would love to see that get into an opt-out across. If you do not hear consent from a parent, it should be an opt-out automatically, not opt-in. So a curriculum across the board, I know you guys are not doing it tonight, but that's a part of the whole problem, at least for me, that the trust was broken. Because I couldn't believe that this is a district that is an opt-in with no consent from a parent. You should want to hear from a parent. You should want to see, oh yes, they want them to hear this. Across the board, left, right, whatever side. You should want to hear from the people, from the parents. They're our kids. That's all we want is a say across the board. Not an opt-in automatically, opt-out automatically. I did not hear from a parent, that's it. I would love that, to be across the board for everything. Thank you.
I'm going to close the public comments. Did you want to address? Oh, sorry. Is there any online? Thank you.
So I can't answer everything, but I definitely will over time. But a couple of things with federal funding. Federal funding is tied to very specific things. Like earlier today, you saw the ESEA grant, like Title I, that can only be used on certain things. Title II can only be used on certain things. The ESSER funds have definitely been broader from the federal government, but it has to be things directly related to COVID or improving learning loss directed to COVID. So school safety, as in the health and safety, not with the necessary security, although we have looked into it, so it's not like we're just ignoring that, because it is funding that's here for a period of time. I also want to speak to the tabling of it. We decided to do that, you know, after hearing from some people. We are going to share what it is in the areas of concern directly that will be taught to our students as much as we can. This is just in an effort to give you more information, but I want to promise you, like, we care about your children, not the same way you care about your children, but we want to do what's developmentally appropriate and what helps all kids feel safe and secure in our school districts. So at that core, we have the same belief system. So I just want you to say that you are being heard, and that's one reason why we're going to share more of this information prior to our August board meeting. So thank you.
Dr. Steger just stated that she was going to share the ones about the troubling ones that people have raised their concern about. Okay, with that, I'm looking for a motion for executive session. Let me find the motion. Thank you. I am looking for a motion to approve the above executive session resolution for the board adjourning to closed session to discuss CTAA negotiations, HIB investigations, and student residency matters, wherein the length of time for the executive session is expected to be approximately 20 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business where an action may be taken.
Motion.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're in executive session. The time is 8:50 p.m. I'm looking for a motion to reconvene public session.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Imaki. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Kaltenbach. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The time is 9:15 p.m. Our next meeting, you're right. I'm looking for a motion for 22-SU-25.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Remarkey. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Creighton. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Dr. Blumenfeld.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Yes.
Mr. Rosa.
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Our next meeting is scheduled for August 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Clinton Township Middle School. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening, and have a wonderful summer break. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Thank you, Ms. Emery. Second?
Mr. Rosa.
Thank you, Mr. Rosa. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The time is 9:16 p.m. Have a good evening.
Good meeting, everyone.